Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Syrma SGS Technology Limited Q3 FY24 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Aniruddha Joshi from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thanks, Manuja. On behalf of ICICI Securities, we welcome you all to Q3 FY24 results conference call of Syrma SGS Technology. We have with us senior management of the company. Now, I hand over the call to Mr. Nikhil Gupta, Head of Investor Relations, to introduce the management and take the conference call forward. Thanks, and over to you, Nikhil.
Thank you, Aniruddha. Hi, very good morning to all. Welcome to Syrma SGS third quarter fiscal 2024 earnings call. We have with us today Mr. J.S. Gujral, Managing Director, Mr. Jayesh Doshi, Director, Mr. Satendra Singh, Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Bijay Agrawal, Chief Financial Officer, Syrma SGS, to discuss the performance of the company during the third quarter of fiscal 2024, followed by a detailed question-and-answer session. During this call, certain statements that will be made are forward-looking, which involve several risks, uncertainties, assumptions, and other factors that can cause results to differ materially from those in such forward-looking statements. All forward-looking statements made herein are based on the information presently available to the management, and the company does not undertake to update any forward-looking statements that may be made in the course of this call. In this regard, please do review the disclaimer statements in the earnings release and all other factors that can cause a difference. I'll now hand over this call to Mr. J.S. Gujral, Managing Director of Syrma SGS. Thank you.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's my pleasure to host this Q3 earnings call for FY23-24. The three quarters, April to December of this year, have seen a robust growth of 48% in revenues to 2,062 crores, which is almost touching the annual figures which we did last time. So the growth is intact. This despite a flattish Q3, which is not a reflection of our annual growth prospects. We had some major push-out of orders, sales, dispatches during Q3, which resulted in a flattish Q3 compared to Q2. Year-on-year, we have grown in revenues. Our EBITDAs for the nine months stand at 6.6%. This 48% growth has resulted in a saving of 2.6%-2.7% of overhead, which has partially offset the increase in the material margin because of the change in product mix. What I would like to share with you is that the industry profile of margins, gross material margin of various industrial segments, are stable and are not seeing any major contraction. Our exports have grown by 18% year-on-year for the nine months, and if I was to see Q3 of this year compared to Q3 of last year, they have gone a significantly higher percentage, which is close to about 50%. We have orders in hand of 4,500 crores to be executed over the next 12-15 months. During these nine months, we have commissioned our new facilities at Gurgaon. We have put up a new facility at Noida, and we are also in the process of setting up a new facility at Bawal and Pune. Cumulatively, these facilities will give us an additional 3.5 lakh sq ft of area, which will cater to the future growth prospects of the company. For an EMS company, the basic capacity is the SMT. Between April of this year and December of this year, we have increased our SMT placement capacity from 3.2 million components per hour to approximately 6.3, which is almost a 95% increase, a doubling of the capacity. So this will help us in achieving the growth trajectory which we are envisaging and have budgeted for our company. For the current year, we maintain our guidance given earlier of achieving 3,000 crores of revenue with EBITDA of approximately 7 to 7.5%. For the next year, we expect this growth trajectory to be maintained. So we expect that next year will also grow in the same level as we have grown this year, which is between 40-45%. And this will primarily be led by the rebounding of the healthcare sector, which we expect to have significant contributions in the coming year, automotive, industrial, and consumer. During this period, we have onboarded in the last quarter senior resources to drive various business verticals. For example, we have hired a CEO for our RFID business to drive this vertical because this is a high margin accretive vertical. We have also hired a chief people officer to sort of take the organization to the next level. I would also like to share with you that we have hired during this quarter McKinsey, who will be assisting us in driving operational efficiencies and growth trajectories over the coming years, the results of which will be visible not in the short term but in the long term. Before I hand over to Bijay Agarwal, our CFO, to delve in detail on the financials, I would now request Tinder Singh, our CEO, to introduce himself and share his thoughts. And then Bijay will share the financial details with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gujral. Good morning, everyone on the call. Good to be here in our Q3 FY24 results call. As Mr. Gujral said, there is a strong growth which we have had over the last three quarters. We expect to continue similar trajectory as Mr. Gujral covered in his remarks. At this point, I think Syrma SGS is in a phase wherein we're investing in our ability to deliver the future. We have invested in hiring the leadership talent, the CEO for one of the business units, the chief people officer, and we are working through bridging some of the areas where we believe we could enhance our capabilities. In addition, we are continuing to invest in our manufacturing facilities, the four facilities Mr. Gujral mentioned, along with the SMT capacity. So essentially, we are in an investment cycle wherein we are investing in our people, process, and manufacturing capabilities. We as a company and I as an individual professional continue to remain very long and very bullish on manufacturing. With this, I'll say thank you and turn it over to Bijay for his coverage of numbers. Over to you, Bijay.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I'll now take you through my brief financials for the quarter and 9 month period ended December 2023. Our revenue for the 9 month is approximately 2,028 crores, up by almost 48% year on year. And same way for the quarter, it is 709 crores, up by 38% year on year. Out of this revenue, almost 27% is being contributed through my export sales. Export sales for the quarter is almost 200 crore rupees for this quarter. ODM revenue for this 9 month period is almost 19% for us. The gross margin for the quarter ended and 9 month period is approximately 24% for us. Our operational expenses for the quarter are slightly higher in this particular quarter, mainly because of the reasons as explained by our MD and CEO. some push out of revenues and some upfront investments towards the organizational building, team building across multiple focus areas and geographies. Our operating EBITDA for the quarter is approximately 41 crores and for the 9 months it is 133 crores, which is 6.6% of operating EBITDA margin. PBT for the quarter is 27 crores and again for the 9 months it is 107 crores, which is again 5.2% of PBT margin. Similarly, PAT for the quarter is 20 crores and for the 9 months it is approximately 79 crores, which is 3.8% of PAT margin. My net working capital days for the quarter is 72 days, slightly higher than the last quarter where we were running at around 70 days. So 2 days difference, mainly because of some additional inventories being carried for the businesses over here. Now coming to the order book which we have in our hand, currently we are carrying an order book of approximately 4700 to 4800 crores of total order book, out of which near about 4500 crores which need to be serviced in next 12 months period. And again, if we see the breakup of this order book, about 18 to 20% is towards auto sector and maybe about 40 to 45% is towards consumer sector and similarly about 30-35% is for industrial sector. Balance for healthcare, IT and railway segment as of now. Again, on the debt and treasury side, we have a debt of approximately 494 crores as on December end, against which we are carrying a total treasury position of 428 crores. So my net debt position as on quarter end is 65 crores. Out of this debt also, near about 88 crore is a long-term debt. Balance 400 crore approximately is towards working capital debt. Coming to the capex number, in the 9 month period, we have spent almost 240 crores of capex towards multiple different facilities. And we expect another 40 to 50 crores of capex spend in the upcoming quarter. This is quarter four of this financial year. We still have about 200 odd crores of unutilized IPO funds towards capex, which we expect to spend in another next 12 to 15 month period. With this, I will now hand it over to Nikhil to open the forum for the Q&A session. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Vijay. Manuja, over to you for the Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Rahul Gajare from Haitong Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen, and thanks for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. I'll start with the revenue and margin, you know, which were a tad lower during this quarter. Can you talk about the reasons specifically for lower revenue and margin in this particular quarter? You know, given you had a very strong order backlog, and therefore, you know, there was a very clear roadmap in terms of execution. And I think you also indicated earlier, you know, that H2 normally is 55% of your revenue. And I think the guidance that you have just talked about, that basically talks about, you know, being able to do about 900 to 1,000 crores of revenue in the fourth quarter with 10% EBITDA margin. So I want to understand which are the segments that you are confident that will drive this 10% margin. So that's the first question. Thank you.
See, this quarter we had a push out in automotive and consumer segment which led to a decline of revenue. And once the revenue declines, the overhead being fixed, it has a direct impact on margins. So for clarity, for example, if we consider the 9 month figure where we have grown by 49%, operating overheads have come down by 2.6%. But if I was to compare Q3 with the Q2, my overheads have actually gone up to approximately, they have gone up to from 15.5 to 17%. So 1.5% increase in overheads, especially because the revenues are lower. We're very confident we would recover this revenue. And for your information, in the month of January, we have done a revenue of 362 crores, which is the highest ever. And we expect that whether it is 360 or 330, that's a separate issue. But the 300 breach has been done and it will continue in the future. So this Q3 is a one-off aberration on missing the revenue growth. Though in 9 months, we have grown by 48%. And this shows the resilience of the business, that despite a flattish quarter, 9 months revenue has still shown a very healthy growth of 48%. So we're very confident that going forward in Q4 of this year and the coming quarters of FY24-25, the revenues will be met. Honestly, quarter on quarter, meeting the last figure or the last two digits or whatever, it's a thing we are focused on, but we are not too sort of worried if one quarter is going because of a special circumstance. What we are focused on is what is the long-term picture. Is the long-term picture, the long-term growth trajectory, the customer onboarding, penetration in different geographies, is that intact or not? For that, it is very intact. I hope that answers you.
Yeah, you talked about push-out. Is it possible you can quantify the push-out of revenue in this particular quarter?
I'll just ask Vijay to share that figure with you. It's about 110 crores.
Okay. My second question is on, you talked about pretty strong order backlog at almost 4,500 crores. How much is export out of it? And because I remember export is something which will aid margin expansion for this company.
See, we expect order backlog. I'll just ask Vijay to pull out the figures of the order backlog of the exports. But if exports account for about 27-28% of our revenues, I expect the exports should be in the same proportion. Maybe a little less. This year, we have done 9 months, we have done 550 crores of exports. And going forward, we expect the exports to grow further in the coming year. On the back of renewed growth in healthcare, and the customers which we onboarded during the first 9 months of this year, they would start yielding series revenues in the coming year. The figure on the exact export orders in hand out of this 4,500 crores, the moment it is taken out, it will be shared by the
Approximately, we have 20% of export orders in the overall open order book there. And in the next quarter also, we are expecting somewhere around 220 to 30 crores of export in the next quarter.
So that would translate into export business of export orders of about 900 crores out of the 4,500 crores.
Sir, while you have said, you know, that working capital will actually, you know, decline as we go along, you know, we've not seen that really happen. So where are we on that journey? And I think connected with this, I also want to understand, you know, there was a litigation where you settled some amount. Is it possible you can share some details of that litigation and what is it that you have done in terms of risk management so that these kind of things do not reoccur, you know, because as the order book revenue quantum goes, you know, I think if there are litigation, this number can also increase. So what are the risk management tools that or things that you have put in place so that these things do not reoccur?
See, we had projected inventory going up or net working capital going down, which is slightly 2 days up. But in absolute terms, if we see the inventory and the net working capital has gone up. Now, if 100 crore, 110 crore revenue gets pushed out, it would be lying in the shop floor. And with average material cost of 70-75% or whatever is that, approximately it is what? About 74%, 75%. It means a direct hit on inventory to that extent. So on a long-term basis, we still maintain that we said that we'll try to bring down to 70 days. We are still holding that and gliding it down to 60 days. Quarter on quarter, meeting every target at times in this dynamic business environment is a challenge. What we concentrate on is the business outlook from that customer stable for the coming quarters or not? And there we don't see any challenge. Quarter on quarter, it will always be there. Some odd thing. Not of this magnitude, but we started off with 90 days at the beginning of the year and then we have come down to 70 days last quarter. This time it's 72 days. And I think in March, we should be below 70 days.
Now on the contingent liability or maybe that litigation thing, this is a 8-year or maybe probably 9-year old litigation which was going on with one of the customer. Again, regarding this thing, this was always disclosed in our contingent liabilities all across the period. This was reflecting as a contingent liability worth around approximately 6 crore rupees in our balance sheet previously. We settled it out of the court with that particular party during quarter 2 of this financial year and overall impact is 1.35 crore is what we have agreed to pay. And this was already factored in our financials in quarter 2 of this financial year. And again, because it was a litigation, it was always disclosed and related impact or related, I would say, measures internally from a risk point of view was always been taken care of now thereafter.
Sure. Thank you very much and all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to one per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we will request you to rejoin the queue. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Alok Deshpande from Nuvama Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone, and thanks for the opportunity. My question is about the order book. You mentioned an order book of about 4,500 crores. Would it be possible to share the split of the order book between the different verticals that you have? I think I remember you mentioning about 40-45% is consumer. That's what you mentioned in last quarter. And then based on that, the guidance that we are giving on margins for next year, which is 7-7.5%, then, before you bought Jory Digital, you had a margin which was 9-10% and Jory is about 35% margin business. Then, are we looking at a scenario where, you know, the business margins or the blend mix is taking the margins down? So order book and margins are the two questions that I have.
Okay. The breakup of the order between the various vertical and the segments, I think, Vijay will share with you after my reply on the margin profile. See, again, as I said in my opening statement, what we are focused on is maintaining or increasing the margin profile of each vertical. Now, each vertical would have its own margin profile. A automotive vertical margin profile cannot be compared to a consumer vertical margin profile. And if tomorrow, for example, we were to do the IT business, the margin profile would be entirely different. So what we internally work is that A, is my vertical profile sustained, stable, or is it getting under stress? Then within the vertical, we look at the customers. So, margin profile, if the product mix changes, would undergo a change. And keeping into account the profile of potential sale mix in the coming year, we believe that with the mix which we have envisaged for the next year, that is FY24-25, we should be in the range of 7-8% EBITDA. For 24-25.
Now, on the order book breakup, I can just take you through. Broadly, the largest contributor here is consumer, which is of almost 40-45% is being contributed by consumer segment here. Thereafter, industrial segment, which is contributing almost 30 to 35% of the order book. And then comes auto, which is 18 to 20%. And then we see healthcare, IT and railways is the balance. Healthcare is slightly higher this time, is about 8 to 10% is what we are expecting out of the healthcare in this particular quarter.
And Vijay, the business from Jewelry would be part of this healthcare vertical, right? The order book.
Say 4800 crore, this includes Jewelry also.
No, the healthcare includes healthcare part, which you mentioned 8 to 10%. Yes. That will include Jewelry also.
Absolutely.
Okay, understood. Thank you so much, gentlemen, for the responses. Very helpful.
Thank you, Alok. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Aditya Bagar from Tata Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, good morning to everyone. Thank you so much for taking my question. Heartfelt congratulations. We are very enthused by the overall growth momentum that you've maintained so far. My question is on EBITDA margins, right? So when we go back, let's say a year or two, with somewhat of a similar mix, we used to do close to 28-29% gross margins flowing into a double digit sort of a EBITDA margin profile. My question is, over the last 9 months and running into FY25, is there a structural change in terms of thought process to chase, let's say, an auto or a consumer set of customers, which are essentially driving a negative mix for us? So my question is there a change in thought process for us to drive a particular set of customers?
No, I don't think there is a change in the mindset to drive a particular set of customers. We being in business, it's a management call or business call that if an opportunity is existing in a particular segment, should that opportunity be taken up or not taken up? Now, when we take up an opportunity, we evaluate various parameters. For example, if I was a 1,000 crore company, my buying power, the muscle power with my vendors, the negotiation power with my vendors would be quite different if I was to buy material worth 3,000 crore rupees. So while a particular segment has its own margin profile, the positive rub-off effects on the overall business as we grow are there. So it is not that the management is changing its focus from automotive to consumer. Automotive, we have grown. 9 months, we have grown almost like... just a sec. 9 months, we have grown by 67% in automotive, whereas we have grown by 90% in consumer. In absolute figures, we have grown, we have done additional automotive business of 168 crore. So it's not that the focus has shifted. It's just that a business which is available, formidable names, global players, which bring in sort of manufacturing expertise, we have taken that business. It's not one at the expense of the cost of the other.
Right. Understood, sir. That's very helpful. Can you also clarify, I think you made some comments earlier in terms of raw material cost. So when I look at the RM margins, right, your gross profit margins, you've come down from 29% to 24%. Is that purely on mix or is there some other elements to that as well?
So that's what I said. We very minutely, closely monitor first the vertical-wise gross material margin and then within the vertical, the customer margin. This change is purely because of change in the product mix. And if I was to see FY 9 months, it has gone down by about 5%. And my consumer business has gone up by 90%. So the heavy reliance on the consumer business is bringing down this gross material margin.
Sure, sir.
Loud and clear. Thank you so much for this. Just a small suggestion, sir. If you can...
Increase in material cost by about 5%. Because of the operating leverages which the consumer business has brought in, has saved me 2.7%, 2.6% on overheads. So while on the gross material margin we see a negative, on the operating margins or overheads we see a positive. So the net impact could be half of that.
Understood, sir. This is very clear. Just a small suggestion, sir. If possible, it would be great if you can articulate a medium-term strategy, not necessarily right now, but maybe heading into FY25, if you can articulate a medium-term strategy, you know, a three-year, five-year outlook, that would be very helpful, sir.
Point well taken, but I'll tell you the strategy is very clear. To grow at an industry plus rate year on year for the next 3 to 5 years. So if the industry is growing at 30-35%, we should be growing at greater than 35%.
Understood, sir. Thank you so much and good day, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Sumant Kumar from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah. In railway, we have seen a 20% kind of degrowth in 9 months. So, and we are seeing a higher opportunity in railway. And also healthcare, we have only 17% growth. So what is the outlook for healthcare and whatever the order book you are getting, it is not showing we are getting a higher order book for healthcare as well as for railway. So can you talk about what are the challenges we are facing in this segment?
Okay, I'll come to railways first. In my last call, I had shared that we had called the RDSO approval for railway signaling equipment, and we had got a business of about 35 crore rupees from there. There was an existing business of 5 crore rupees. We were expecting this 35 crore business, part of it, to be shipped out in by March 24. Unfortunately, because of some component shortages at the global level for very specialized controllers, this sale is being pushed out to the next quarter. This quarter, we should be doing about 5 crores of railways for the railway signaling equipment. And the railway business, since we have just started off, the base is small. Once the base of the customer goes up over a period of time, then it becomes less immune to fluctuation. If I have two customers in the railway, and if one of them was to get pushed out for material shortage, it has almost a 40... Yeah, is it okay?
Yes, sir, please continue.
Yeah. So once the base of railway consumer customers expands, the sensitivity to the fluctuation gets diffused on a longer base, and it's less immune to major fluctuations. This will take time because railways is a long gestation business acquisition. With this RDSO approval, we have made the initial breakthrough. So we expect that in next year, railways should contribute about 70 to 75, 80 crore rupees of revenue at the minimum.
And about healthcare?
Healthcare is essentially, I think next year my healthcare business should be approximately 375 to 400 crore rupees business next year. All inclusive, whether it's RFID, whether it is EMS, whatever it's that.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Indrajit Agarwal from CLSA Capital Partner. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Two questions from my side. First, the difference that we see in material margin across various businesses, is it offset by better asset turn? The meaning is, are the ROCs across businesses similar or consumer generates a lower ROC than, say, healthcare?
See, the high volume businesses that always have a lower lower gross material margin and a higher sector. It would also have a less impact on net working capital. Because businesses which are low to medium volume will attract high margins. High margins would be higher on EBITDA, but maybe they would not be as high on the asset turn as the consumer business. So it's a mix, and it's not one off against the other, and they cannot be compared. So a high volume business, lower gross material margin, higher asset turn, and comparatively less working capital involvement, net working capital involvement. Low to high or medium volume businesses, they would have comparatively higher gross material margin, they would have lower asset turn, and there would be involvement of working capital also.
So the ROC should be similar, in the similar range for almost all the verticals across. Only difference can be wherever we have started a new business, there the ROC can reflect probably after a full ramp up. Till the time the full ramp up is happening, you can see a slightly lesser or subdued ROC during that interim period.
Sure, this is helpful. My second question is, on your EBITDA margin guidance of 7 to 8%, is there any proportion of other income, that is non-treasury other income or other operating income, that is that you are including either in revenue or EBITDA?
This is the operating margin which you are referring to.
Yes.
The and even for the 70 or whatever, when we say 6 or 5 or 9, they are the operating thing. The, with the other income, the margins would be high. The EBITDA margins would be high.
Okay, that's clear. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Keur from ICICI Prudential Life Insurance. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Just one clarification. So right now, what would the gross block, if you can help us, and say by end of FY24 or 25, possible operational gross block, what would that number, and if you can validate the gross asset to gross block asset turnover should be around in the range of 4 to 5x is at the optimum level, is it correct understanding?
I think Vijay will just share the figures with you, but yes, while he's sharing the gross block figure, I believe that by the FY25 end, over a set turn should be upwards of 5, could be closer to 6. From the current, I think it's below 5. Vijay will share the detail with you.
So my gross block is approximately 700 crore rupees as of now, 720 near about. But out of which there are about 150 crores of assets which are there, which are not deployed to put to use. Maybe we have already acquired a facility there in Manesar as a new expansion of that machine facility. The expansion work is already going on. And similar way, the project expenses, whatever we have incurred related to Hosur location, and that project, till the time we commission that project, all the expenses are there in the CWIP and it is not put to use. So there will be approximately 150 crores of capex which we have incurred in last 12 to 15 months, which is still not resulting or will be delivering anything into the operational performance so far. So which will be reflecting into going forward in the next financial year, hopefully.
What I'll request Vijay is that he should take out the capital work in progress, which has not been put to productive use, and share offline with the people, all the panelists, what is the asset turn on the asset actually deployed in production, and excluding the CWIP. When CWIP comes into full production, the asset turn will be calculated with that, because that's a true measure of the effectiveness or the efficiency with which the assets are being used.
No, correct. That is why I asked for operational gross block. Fair enough. Just
yes,
one data point. 9 months cash flow from operations, if you can share, that would be helpful. Thank you.
9 months OCF is almost negative here for this period, but we see in the full year basis we should be having a good decently positive number is what we are hoping. Because there is an incremental working capital investment during this period, so overall OCF is negative.
At around? Would be possible?
Negative.
See, the sale push-out which has happened in December has resulted in an increase in working capital.
Understood. Noted. Okay. Thanks a lot. And all the best.
Only bought the material, make that it could be in the lying in finished goods or in the advanced stages of completion. So that's a push-out.
So end of year, OCF should be positive?
That's what we are targeting and... we hope we should be able to deliver a positive OCF EBITDA.
Noted. All the best. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Deepak Krishnan from Kotak Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I hope you can hear me fine.
Yes. Please continue.
Yeah, so I just wanted to sort of understand again on the margin front, because essentially if you look at order book, while healthcare is ramping up with higher margin, but a large part of consumer will be still driving growth. It's 37% for 9 months, goes up to, you know, 40-45%. And, you know, auto is where you're sort of seeing the negative mix impact. So ex of say whatever you sort of have a delay in shipment and, you know, some sort of recovery, you know, beyond 7.5 to be kind of see margin going ahead with this mix, or that is sort of the steady state? And specifically for Q4, the ask rate is pretty high, closer to 10%. So, you know, what gives us confidence that we'll be able to deliver, you know, 7-7.5% for this year also?
See, we have mapped out the budgeted sales which we are envisaging, which we are targeting in FY24 and FY24-25. And it's based on that we are giving the guidance of 7-8% for the next year. It will be basically on two accounts. A, my assets starting to get optimally utilized. The capacities which we have created this year will start getting optimally utilized next year. So this will give me operating leverage benefits. And then based on the asset sale profile, we have calculated the gross material margin. That if this was my sale profile, vertical wise, my gross material margin would be 24%, 25% or 26% or whatever it is. And then the operating leverages, which will come in with the increased revenues and the assets being sweated more. With that, we have come at a figure of 7-8%.
And essentially with 7-8% sort of, you know, margins, what kind of ratios would we finally target with 70% sort of working capital days? And over time, we should be seeing FCF generation coming through, right, as well?
So sorry, I couldn't get your question.
I was just saying that 7-7.5%, you know, sort of margins and about, you know, 70 days of working capital, what kind of ratio profile are we targeting? And do you think that sort of covers up for, you know, free cash flow generation also over time?
Okay, yeah, with this margin and we are targeting the net working capital to glide down further. The target that you said that our wish list is it should come down to 60 days. We have come down from 90 odd days when we started our journey with the markets. So over the last 18-20 months, we have come down by almost like 20 days. 18-20 days, and we expect this to go down. Now, how will it go down? There's a rationality behind it. See, the moment I onboard high volume customers, the inventory holdings come down. Doing 100 crores of revenue with, say, 6 customers or 5 customers, the inventory holding will be different than doing 100 crore of revenue with one customer. As my model mix goes down, the inventory levels automatically go down. So when we are scaling up, we are obviously targeting anchor customers which will give us good annual revenues so that there is an efficiency built into the inventory holding.
Sure, sir. Those are my questions and best of luck for future quarters.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Chirag Lodaya from ValueQuest Investment Advisor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, if you can just help us understand with Johari Digital performance, how it has been for this quarter and, you know, how is the order book, etc. shaping there?
See, Johari Digital, we are on track with doing what we did last year, approximately the same level of turnover. Next year, we are expecting a decent growth of about 25-30% in the Johari Digital turnover. Now, the Johari Digital business is quite different than the organic business, which is the EMS, because that's a product-based business. So whenever new products get onboarded, the growth in that particular year will see a higher, steeper trajectory, and then it will come down to the rational trajectory once the same products go into 2 years. And we have a decent product line in pipeline which is under approval. That all depends upon when do we get those approvals. But we expect that Johari Digital next year should be approximately maybe 5% or 6% of our revenues. 5% of our revenues. So it will not be a major contributor to the revenues, but it will be a mainstay of the margins.
Right. And if you can just call out this quarter performance.
Vijay, can you share that?
So this quarter we have done almost 30 odd crore rupees of revenues for this quarter through Johari Digital, and with approximately 30% of EBITDA margin over there.
Okay. And apart from this, can you help us understand any new big client or deal win you would have done in last 2-3 months?
See, we have onboarded some very good clients in the industrial space, but the revenues of which will come in the coming quarters. They are high volume clients. They are into the industrial, whether it's IoT, energy, automotive, consumer. We are sticking with the current base other than the RFID part. In the consumer EMS, we are with the current level of client. So the new clients which are in pipeline is very strong, and they would yield results in 25-26. The 24-25 projections which we are sharing, the guidance which we are sharing is with clients already onboarded and order visibility received from them. The new clients which are being onboarded now and in the coming quarters would essentially yield revenues towards the end of this financial, at best this calendar year, or at best this financial year, and that is March 25. And the volumes will start in April 25. Because all these major clients have a 12-18 months gestation period for value product, series production, high volume production.
Right. And how is the trajectory for healthcare division, sir, in export market? What is happening there?
See, healthcare, we are very focused on it. And in Johari, for example, we have had a new CEO, and he is coming from Tata Elxsi. So he's just joined us up maybe a month back. So that is the focus to grow that business. And he has grown that business in Tata Elxsi from almost scratch to whatever Tata Elxsi is doing today in healthcare business. So he's joined us in the month of January. And that's only with the focus on growing the business. And as I said in my last call earnings, what we have acquired is not the business of Johari. We have acquired is a platform. And platform is for long-term growth.
Right. In terms of base business of healthcare?
Sorry?
Base business of healthcare division, how that would shape up going ahead?
Here in Sirma was RFID, and that has bounced back. As I shared in my earlier call, we did only 15 crores in Q1. We did about 35, 36 crores, 33 the Q2. It has started bouncing back. Q3, it has again seen 33 plus crores of business. And it is now still slowly and steadily picking up. So we'll come back to where we were 2 years ago. It has been a year of lull and then a year of recovery. Last year was a degrowth. This year has started coming back to the original level.
Right, right. And we are quite confident of, you know, achieving this 3,000 crore number which we have shared earlier. So Q4 should have that delay what we saw in Q3, right?
We have done 2,000 odd crores up to December. January we have done 362 crores. That's the figure I'm sharing with you. The shipments out are 362 crores. So that gives us the confidence of achieving the 3,000 crore target.
Okay, got it. Thank you, Anandana.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Amar Maurya from Lucky Investment Manager Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks a lot for the opportunity. Sir, what is the kind of asset turn we will be targeting, let's say, at the peak level with the 720 crore of gross block?
Vijay, you take that and operational gross block.
Peak level, once we ramp up the full capacity there, we are always targeting an asset turn somewhere between 6 to 7 times. That's what...
Okay, 6 to 7 times. Got that. And secondly, this 7.5% margin which we are looking for is like the margin we should assume for at least like the full next 2 years, 3 years kind of thing?
I think yes. If the product mix remains the same, if there's a shift away from the consumer, more of other things, the margin could go up. But I think this is the margin profile we should look at considering everything into account.
And thirdly, sir, basically, with this kind of investment, at the internal level, what kind of ROC we would be targeting?
Our ROC target is always 25% plus, and if you are able to deliver the desired 7 to 7.5% of EBITDA margin, my ROC should be in the range of 25% plus, 25%.
Basically, at 720 crore of gross block, or 750 crore of gross block, 7 times, to 5,200 crore kind of a top line, 7.5% meaning 400 crores of EBITDA. Your current capital employed is something around 2,050 crores. So basically, I'm trying to understand how you will make a 20% ROC. Either your margin has to go up, otherwise you will be making 14.5% to 15% kind of a ROC.
My capital employed is approximately 1,400 crore rupees. And with
debt equity, like currently your debt equity of September quarter number is around 1560 crores. Your debt was something around 80 crores. And then, you know, another, I think, short-term debt of around 334 crores. So if I include all those things and plus, you know, the half year of profitability which is included.
Maybe there are liabilities also against. So maybe what we can see. Nikhil, our IR person, can share working with you also. But broadly, when we see my capital employed should be in the range of around 1400 to 1500 crore, and that's where we see if we are able to deliver a EBITDA of somewhere in the range of around 350 to 380 crore rupees, my ROC should be in the range of 25%.
I think Vijay can share the detailed working with you, but I would like to add on a macro level basis. The ROC is a function of a sector, EBITDA, and your net working capital.
Correct.
Now, as I alluded to in one of my earlier answers to one of the questions, is that as we are scaling up, we are bringing in customers with high wallet. So, if I have to do a 5,000 crore revenue, I cannot do it with a 50, 60 crore basket of customers. I have to bring in, and in fact, I have brought in customers who have to be 200, 300, 400, 500 crore customers. So the moment there is a customer which is worth 500 crores, the inventory and the working capital level with that customer goes down significantly. So once the revenue goes up to what level we are targeting and what we have achieved, the profile of the customers will take a turn. It will be a different profile which will result into lower working capital. Net working capital. And once there is a lower net working capital, it has a direct impact on the ROCE.
Okay. Okay, so basically you are saying this cash conversion cycle of 80-90 days will further reduce once you change this kind of...
It is at about 72 days. My net working capital is about 72 days. We are endeavoring and targeting to bring it down. And that's where the operational efficiencies will come in. I'll ask Vijay, request Vijay to share a sort of a model that with a 5,000 crore or 4,500 crore revenue, this working capital, this EBITDA, what will be the ROCE?
Okay. Okay, sir.
I think that will be helpful for everyone. Vijay and Nikhil can share. You can touch, get in touch with them and they'll share the complete model with you.
Sure, sir. And one last, this McKinsey & Company which we are hiring, so what would be the cost involved, for how much time this cost will be there, and what is the basic, you know, purpose to hire McKinsey & Company? What are the key things they will be focusing
on? It is to drive operational efficiency, and Sindhar is leading this project from the front, so he will answer it to you. McKinsey & Company are not the ambassadors in PH. They are the Mercedes-Benz and BMW. So they come with their costs. Confidentiality doesn't permit me to share the cost, but McKinsey is McKinsey, so we cannot compare it with Maruti or Hyundai. So the costs, whatever are being incurred, are being expensed over a period of time. We are expensing it, and we have expensed it in the current period also. For confidentiality, we cannot share the cost, but what will this project drive? Sindhar is leading it from the front, and I hand it over to Sindhar to share what benefits we expect to get from this project. And obviously, if we are investing so much and we call ourselves businessmen, we expect that what we invest will get several times that in our projection.
Sure, sure.
All right, Satyendra here. I think to quickly add on to what Mr. Gujral said, this is a period of investment for us as Sharma SCS. I talked to you about investment in plant. I talked to you about investment in people, and this is investment in the process plus business strategy. That's the third piece. We are working with the firm, and we are looking at the operating efficiencies. That's one part of the things. And secondly, we are also looking at the business strategy for the future as to where we will double down and where we would say it's business as usual for future. So those are the two main areas where we are focusing with our own resources and with the outside help.
Sure, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Hardik Rawat from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, am I audible?
Yes, please.
Sir.
Yeah, just wanted to know the segment-wise gross margins.
Yes.
What are the segment-wise?
We have been asked by our clients, and there's been a pushback from the clients, because when we declare the quarterly sort of the gross margin client-wise, they always come back that you are earning this much, we are earning that much. So we have refrained from publishing that. But nonetheless, in our meetings and one-to-one calls, you can get back to Vijay and Nikhil. They will share the figures with you.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Arfat from InCred. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. I'm taking a question. Am I audible, sir?
Yeah. Please continue.
So my question is again on margins, sir. Let's say if you exclude Johari, which is 30%, so then our margin is 4.4%. So you don't think it's very low compared to what we have given in the past? And again, let's say if you in the last quarter also around 7% and that goes to 9.3%. So any thought on that we have done just 4% margin in case in this quarter?
So it's 4%. Vijay will share the details with you.
So again, it's a seasonality thing for Johari is what we are saying. So we cannot look on a quarter and quarter basis. On a full year basis, we see definitely it is related to the volume numbers also. Last quarter they did about 30 odd crore. This quarter we are expecting much better revenue thing because depending upon the order book and which quarter, in which quarter those are scheduled that way. So we expect the performance to be similar to the last year in this particular financial year. And again, post the joining of the new CEO, the entire next year strategy work is going on. So going forward, we expect that kind of a growth, which Gujarat has already explained to you.
And we now see the company as in totality and not in bits and parts. So there's no north-south divide in a lighter way, as the political people call it. So we see our business as a composite in totality. So someone will be driving margin, someone will be driving growth, someone will be driving the cash flows, some vertical will be driving the asset turn. So what we have to see is what we put as a composite thing on the table. The acquisition was done with a certain objective and now it's part and parcel of our business.
Okay, so last question again on Johri. Let's say 30% EBITDA. So any how this business we can help to add the margin on the console basis?
Sorry, you said what will be the contribution of the Johri to the consolidated figures?
Yes, yes. Going forward, let's say for FY25, you're looking at 5% growth. So the Johri should double, right? In this case. Which
would be less than 5% of our total revenues going forward. So if I am expecting, I am just taking a off the cuff figure, a 4,500 crore business, a 4,000 crore business, Johri does 200, it's only 5% of the business. So it will not be a dominant player in the revenues, but it will be contributing a decent amount to the EBITDA.
Yes, yes. So again, what kind of revenue are you looking? Johri for FY25.
We are looking to grow this year about 20-25% in FY24-25.
Fine, sir. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Ashutosh Parathar from Mirabilis Investment Trust. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Vipin Goyal, this side from Mirabilis.
I have just
one question on the order book side. You mentioned that you have got some order on the industrial front, and it appears that until last quarter about 110 crores kind of intake we're doing, which has now jumped to 170 crore kind of number. If I just back calculate that number, so can you just provide some color, some clarity on the kind of product that we are doing on this new order and the margin profile? Possible margin profile of this particular order. Also on the size, if you can just give some color. That'll be very helpful. Thank you.
In industrials, I don't know what figure you are referring to. We did about 1955 last quarter, which is more than 650 per month. In 9 months, we have done 5,700 crores, which is again more than 650 per month revenue. Sorry?
So I'm talking about the order intake.
Order intake. So I'm saying the order intake, I was talking to millions, sorry, 5708 million, sorry, so 570 crores. Order intake, Vijay shared with you that industrial is approximately
30-35% of the order book currently, which is from industrial segment over here, which is approximately 1300-1400 crore rupees.
And these would be in the energy sector, the power sector, power supplies, industrial cleaning,
industrial metering.
Yeah, energy storage, energy metering. Comparatively better margin profile. The industrial vertical historically has had a better gross margin profile than the consumer.
Okay. Particularly just on the order intake of this quarter, is it a large one single chunky order? Is it like a mix of multiple orders?
It is a mix of multiple orders. We don't have exact figure what was the order intake into this quarter. We have a total order book with us as of now. But yes, it is a mix of multiple customer related orders and multiple application related orders. Complete.
And the order balance, which is 4,500 crore, which I shared with you, that out of this approximately 40-odd% is
consumer is 40%.
For consumer is approximately 40-odd%, and industrial is in 30s.
Consumer is about 45%.
What is the margin profile of this orders, of these orders, the industrial orders?
See, margin again, I said industrial orders are better than consumer orders. And it will not increase the gross sort of it will increase the gross material margin, and it will not increase the material cost as a percentage of the sales.
Okay. So just one more question. So this quarter you said that 100 crore has kind of been pushed to the next quarter in terms of execution. But in the gross margin, that should isn't it that their gross margin should have declined because of that this quarter?
The gross margin, because material it goes into the finished goods, huh? It affects my inventory. It doesn't margin decline yoga. It will impact on the absorption of overheads.
Got it. Okay.
If my sale 100 crore sale had happened, assuming 74% is the material cost I'm taking, so 74 crores my inventory would have come down. My sale would have gone up by 100 crores or whatever, and the overhead absorption would have been higher. So the operating leverage, which in 9 months is about 2.6%, would have been higher by some, maybe 2.5%, 7% or whatever. So it doesn't affect the gross material margin.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's it from my side. Thanks.
Thank you very much. The last question for the day is from the line of Anupam Goswami from SUD Life. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Sir, my question is on the quarter.
Sorry? You're not audible.
Hi. In this quarter, what kind of margin we did segment-wise? If not, you're not. Was there any change or a degradation in margin in each segment? Or is it just because the consumer segment was higher this time? That's why we saw the margin being beaten down.
So what I shared with you in my opening statement is we very closely work at analyzing the industry-wise gross margins, and we don't see any stress on that. They are stable. That's why if you see a gross material margin has increased from 23.4% in Q2 of 24 to 23.9%. So in fact, there is a positive rough, and that is because there is no stress industry wise in the margin. There may be some stealing somewhere. The gross material margin profile is purely linked to the product mix and the industry mix. Again, if I am saying hypothetically, purely hypothetically, if I was to do 1000 crores of IT business, IT business would come at a gross margin of about 3 to 4%. That's what all the industry people are saying, and that's what we also believe in. But it will be highly accretive on the what you call asset turn and ROCE. So a 1,000 crore of IT business would change this gross material margin profile significantly. So what we analyze, as I have been repeatedly saying, is that we analyze industry-wise margin and whether they are changing or not. Whether it's automotive, whether it's healthcare, whether it is industrial or consumer or railways, we are not seeing a stress on that. We see stable margins per se in each of these verticals.
Okay. Understood, sir. And when you guided 7 to 8% margin in next year, are you taking auto to be, you know, back to where it was in the proportion, or are you continuing with the consumer segment growing at a such rate?
See, our business would be primarily on three legs, which is auto, industrial, and consumer. On a long-term sustained basis, again, quarter-on-quarter is a different thing. So we would love the three verticals to contribute about 75% or 80%. Whether they contribute a secular percentage or it is higher in one and lower in another, it's very tough to predict today. But on a yearly basis, I expect my automotive business to be about within 25%, 27% of the sale?
Yes, 20 to 25%.
25% of the sale. Industrial would be the same, maybe growing up in the next year. So the margin profile, as I said to an earlier question, has been communicated, calculated based on the profile of my sales and the operating leverages which would emerge from this thing. And that's why we have arrived at that thing. There's a complete backward exercise which has been done to arrive at that thing.
Okay, sir. Okay, and the last question, in this order book, did we add any more wallet share or customer additions going for in this order and going forward, how's the pipeline?
See, typically when you do a business, you always increase the wallet share with the customer. And that's one of the strengths, that's one of the internal metrics which we sort of used to evaluate, am I doing something good for the customer vis-a-vis my competition? If my growth was to come by ceding market share of existing customers, the growth would be reflected, but the quality of the growth, I would not be satisfied. The quality of the growth is that A, not only you bring in new customers on board, but B, you snatch wallet share from competition. That's the quality of growth, and we are focused on both.
Okay. Yeah, got understood. So thank you so much.
Thank you very much. In the interest of time, that will be the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. J.S. Gujral for closing comment. Please go ahead.
Well, gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, we are in exciting times. In 37, 38 years of my career in the electronics industry, we have never ever, I repeat, never ever seen such a positive macro level tailwind and environment for the electronics sector. We are very, very confident of long-term sustenance of the business with margins. And as Sendra has shared in his comments, we are investing on people, resources, systems. So there would be a short-term cost involved, but the long-term benefits would accrue over a longer period of time. We believe that Syrma SGS is uniquely placed among the industry peers, with a very healthy export component of about 27%, well-diversified product mix, strong R&D which we are investing, and those results have yet to come in. In fact, we have not discussed on that. The design and development efforts which we are putting in will bear fruits in the coming year. The hiring of the CEOs for RFID, for medical, would bring in greater revenues in these verticals in the coming year. So the focus of the management is to grow the high margin areas in the coming years, and that's why these leadership positions have been filled up so that they can drive the business from the front and it becomes a truly professional managed company divorced from the ownership. Currently the owners are also wearing the functional hat. But in the coming years, we would like to pass on this baton to professionals to drive the business so that Syrma becomes a truly board-managed company and is respected. Apart from that, this is a normal financial figures. What we are very focused on is ESG. So we are internally targeting to be sourcing, I think, a 50% of our energy from green sources over the next 2 to 3 years. We are tying up with the renewable energy companies in South and North. Unfortunately, there is a constraint in the supply. So we would like to be a truly global company in terms of systems, in terms of work ethics, and in terms of social and corporate governance. We are very confident and we are committed to build this into a world-class institution. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.